Hello everyone, this is Beth Farhead calling from the People Speak Radio Show. We welcome all of you here this evening. This show is one that we hope will shed light on an aspect of the tragedy of 9-1-1 that much of the mainstream media broadcast today have not focused on. As for the most recent database update, 88203 at 1:26 a.m., confirmed dead 2,948 people, reported dead 24, reported missing 24, which brings the total of the tragic events of 9/11 to 2,996 Americans that perished that day. And today on the 6th anniversary, we have more questions than we have answers when it comes to the 9/11 accounts. And here on the People Speak, we want to know why. Our guest tonight of the People Speak is, and the people will be speaking with Ellen Mariani, widow of Louis Neil Mariani, who on 9/11 was flying on United Airlines Flight 175, and he crashed into the second tower of the World Trade Center. Ellen, we also have with us tonight Myrna Ocasio. I believe I pronounced that correctly, Myrna. I hope I have. Myrna is Ellen's lawyer. Ellen is currently suing President George W. Bush and many members of the administration under the Bush regime under the RICO Act. Welcome to our show, and on this memorial, our deepest condolences, Ellen, to you and your family.
Well, thank you. I do have to do a correction. The RICO was sadly removed when they used that against me to get the judges and the attorneys on the air side very angry, and I caught on to that, and I had that instantly removed, thinking things would be a little more honest and to the point, and it didn't work. But there is no RICO, Myrna is just a friend. I just had, well, she's heard me speak many times, and she has, that I was explaining what they did to me, and your audience of ladies and gentlemen will be able to hear. It hurts me so bad that they could do this to a 69-year-old widow. They have no conscience, these lawyers and these judges. They're evil. Today, there was no moment of silence for our loved ones. All the judge said was, he's seeing what is being read, and he just says, the Bible says that I choose life. And so you can see what has gone on in 6 years in our court system, which I am totally disgusted and shamed. And I want the world to know the hell I fought for justice. I fought my head off. And what they've done, Irma will be able to tell better than I can. Myrna, I'm sorry, will be able to explain better than I, because grieving and with no answers and no closure, no body, just a plaque that sits in a closet, and when I pass on, it will go on my grave. And it hurts. The world has to know. They know I fought a good fight. And I want to tell a little bit of it tonight.
Ellen, what kind of a man was Louis?
Neil, he was known as Neil because his dad was Louis, and there was no middle name. So Neil was not my first marriage. And I want to tell ladies and gentlemen, if you've had more than, if you're married for the second time, or whatever, how many times, in our country, okay, if you don't have a will, you are nothing but putting bread and butter on the judges and the lawyers' tables. He was a great guy. But we didn't, we were so happy to getting ready for a wedding of my daughter's on the 15th of September. We were to go back and cross the I's and dot the I's and cross the T's. And he was a nice man. He was a gentle, kind man. And I'm just broken. We all are. But
why
I didn't
do you
take the fund.
Can you tell me why you think there are so many unanswered questions today, Ellen?
When I do my speeches in churches and in community halls and wherever, I use the red flag usually. There is the red flag comes up. That to me is, if you're trying to snow a widow under and blocking her from speaking and putting interrogating her on paper and then questioning her under oath, you are a guilty party to this whole corrupt mess. They, to me, killed my husband. People in our government knew. I have a paper that's from the 1970s up until 2001 that says we've all had terrorist attacks, bombs, all these things. You cannot get me to believe, and I hope the whole world hears me, that they did not know, and they allowed this to go on. My husband was in the Air Force of our country, fought for everybody, and when he needed them, where were they? It is the sickest, saddest mess I've ever in my life. We were brought to pledge allegiance to the flag in little children in schools, and I look at that flag now and I'm disgusted.
You know, Ellen, you used some pretty strong language, and I don't know. And one of the things that you blame is President George W. Bush for covering up the facts surrounding the events of 9/11. Are you going to be able to prove this now
You're going back to the RICO that has been dismissed. I didn't put that together. I was encouraged to go along with one of the lawyers I hired. Let me tell you, when you're grieving, and I've never stopped because they wouldn't let me stop, they kept putting me on the defense, and I had to be fine. You can't grieve. You can't get over. There is no closure. He is the one, Bill Byrne, is the one that put this very horrible lawsuit together. And what I wanted answers to, it was an open letter to President Bush, and anybody can go on and find that open letter on the TomFlocko.com website, open letter that Ellen Murray put out to the Bush. I wasn't accusing him, but who is in charge of our country? It sure wasn't me.
And do you think you're going to be able to follow up in other area in the legal areas outside of RICO?
I would have to your guest on the other end answer some of this, because she sat down today very nicely and explained the dark side to what they did to me. And I think the world should know.
Myrna Ocasio is the lawyer with us this evening. Myrna, perhaps you can enlighten us as to exactly what happened with the dysfunction of RICO and going on to the next area.
Sure. I first became aware of Ellen Mariani. I heard her speak at a New York 9/11 Truth meeting. And at that point, I was very, very, very hurt and grieving, still grieving. Came in front of a group and let us in on what she was trying to do. What she was trying to do was uncover the cover-up by the Bush administration on what really happened on 9/11. That was being done with her then-attorney, Mr. Philip Berg, and he had established this RICO lawsuit. By this RICO lawsuit, he sued, you know, the entire administration and Rumsfeld and everyone that had been in the administration at the Bay Ashcroft at that point on September 11th.
Myrna, can I ask you to speak up just a little bit, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
And that's how I became aware of who she is, a very, very, very powerful woman. And because of Ellen, this movement has truly grown. I can say that because I've been involved. I was there on September 11th. I lost a lot of friends on that day. And I've seen the tragedy that's unfolded ever since that day. And I became involved to the best of my liability. I am an attorney. I've been practicing for 20 years, and basically my area of concentration has been litigation, civil rights, negligence, and in particular, at that time, I was working in an aviation law firm. Ultimately, Mr. Phil Berg, the attorney, could not argue with New York State because he's not barred in New York State. He had commenced a RICO lawsuit for Ellen, who at that time lived in New Hampshire, in Philadelphia, because that's where his offices were held. He thought it would be the best place to have it heard because, you know, that's where our country commenced and the Constitution was signed, and he went on and on. Okay. So when the case was dismissed from Philadelphia because the defendants argued that it should be, well, first that it should be dismissed, but then that it should be transferred to New York as the venue where everything happened, at that point I became involved with Phil Berg. And he and I were talking because he wanted me to be local counsel. But because of many disagreements with how he had reworded the complaint that I initially saw with Ellen Mariani's name as the plaintiff, he reworded that complaint and he completely obliterated any references, as far as I was concerned, to just 9/11. And having practiced for so long, I know that you bring one suit in front of the court, and if you're lucky, that's not deemed meritless, and that goes forward, and because defendants immediately come in, and so anyway, so it was far-ranging, and it went everywhere from JFK assassination to Katrina, and I said, no, you cannot do that, and so he and I parted ways. I never represented Ellen Mariani, still worked it. Prior to that, she had an attorney named Mary Schiavo. Prior to that, she had an attorney, Nolan. These two people, the first two lawyers before Phil Berg, wanted to represent her at the Victims Compensation Fund, and Ellen called that shut-up money. She refused to take the money. The way her situation stands right now, in New Hampshire, her stepdaughter had her removed as the administratrix of the estate of Louis Neal Mariani. She was named, the stepdaughter, Ms. Peters, was named as administrator, and then had an administrator appointed by the court. So now you have two people administering the estate of Louis Neal Mariani, and they have decided to join the lawsuit that is presently pending in Southern District solely for damages. None of Ellen's She will not get a full trial. She will not get to present her case. She will not get to argue any of the arguments that she had, that she thought she had, the ability to argue in the former matter. That's where it stands right now. I went to court today just to see, because I was incredulous, just to see what was going on, because when I went to the court side, I didn't see Ellen's name anywhere. And I informed her of that, and I went there. And when I went there, it was six or seven plaintiff's counsels versus six or seven defense lawyers. And the judge said today, Judge Hellerstein, that it was time to move on. And the best way to move on was to have a trial solely on money, solely on damages. They don't have to prove liability.
From their basically what they're doing is totally discounting the entire case.
It's straight to the money. And that's where it stands right now.
So from my understanding, both Ellen and Myrna, what they're basically doing is totally discounting the entire case on validity.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Which is insane.
It's gone forward, and it's basically what you have right now, and I was discussing this earlier with Ellen, basically what you have right now are seven plaintiff's lawyers really putting this class action. There were several people that did not want the money from Victims Compensation Fund because they wanted to sue. Well, basically what you have right now is the same thing had they just accepted the Victims Compensation Fund.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's only for money that they're arguing and whatever their loved ones were worth, which is exactly what these plaintiffs did not want to do. The reason I know that is because I worked at one of the law firms, plaintiff's counsel, Crineland Crineler, at the time that these suits were being established. And what I saw today, I was shocked.
I was truly shocked, because what it comes down to is that they're once again just arguing for money. Just money.
Let me ask you. Let's assume that they can do this with Ellen. How many people are currently trying to get a lawsuit through and reestablishing an independent investigation into the 9/11 issues?
Well, all the lawsuits that were had in America and anyone suing from other countries were all placed in what's called an MDL, multi-district litigation. And all those cases were put in front of this judge, Judge Hellerstein, here in New York. So no matter where they were coming from, be it Texas, California, Europe, Canada, didn't matter, all the cases, people that decided to sue were held in front of Judge Hellerstein. They would have had a full-blown trial. That's where I left off, that those suits were going to be tried against the defendants, be it the airlines, be it the security companies. No one, none of those suits were suing the United States government.
Ellen, I have to ask you, how is it possible to have a country attacked, the people that are involved in this litigation not be able to sue the government? How can we do that? Is it possible?
Exactly. You know, I got to tell you, I am shocked by this entire... This has been... First of all, they just completely railroaded Ellen. They completely railroaded her because she was under the impression, until today, that she was going to get a trial. That's why she was in that courtroom. She was arguing, when do I get to try my case? And this multi-district litigation assigned counsel, liaison counsel, told her to her face, you don't have a case here. Your administrator joined your case, not her case, which is really her stepdaughter's case, in this multi-district litigation. You should be able to go and argue against any defendant that you choose to argue against. This is what I thought America allowed you to do. In this particular instance and with this particular administration, I have seen, and the rest of the country has seen, and the world has seen, that what we thought we were able to do in the past either has been completely obliterated, or we suffer at the hands of very deceitful people and hoodwinked and lies, and under the rubric of national security, state secrets, nothing comes forward. You get no discovery, and I cannot answer truthfully what has happened. All I know is that I sit there saying, how could it be that this government, the United States government, has allowed this, that we really don't have a constitution in this country any longer. We don't. And I truly believe, I will go further than what Ellen has said. I truly believe that this country, this administration, made 9/11 happen. Not that they turned their back on it. I believe they're completely responsible for it. And for that administration, that defendant, to walk away and not be held accountable or even questioned, as you know, Cheney and Bush weren't even questioned under oath for the farcical 9/11 commission hearing. And once again, Ellen was the only one that had a suit against the United States of America. She was the only person. And the first lawsuit in this country. And they completely dissipated her rights. They completely took away her power to do that in some teeny tiny probate court in New Hampshire. And my apologies to New Hampshire. I've never been there. Actually, I've been there, but I've never been to their courtroom. But for a tiny probate court to be able to take away her power, they actually wanted her to have her committed and psychologically tested because she was suing the government. And the things that I have heard have happened to her, I apologize to her today for the entire legal profession, because at least 3 or 4 lawyers have done this to her, or at least dropped the ball, or did not let her know what was going on in her very important suit. And what we saw today was, I sat there saying, I can't believe this, because when I worked for Kreindler & Kreindler, the suit was a full-blown-out liability and damages lawsuit.
Well, for those of our listening audience that just joined us,
We are speaking currently with Ellen Mariani and Myrna Ocasio. I have it written down here phonetically, Ocasio. I probably... Ellen, since all of this just came about, have you gotten any support from any of the other 9/11 widows or people that are involved in this?
Most of them took the funds. But how could I sleep with money under my pillow and sign off that this is the money for not finding out or being, you know, signing off for ever finding out what happened to your husband? This is, at an older age, money is not, that is not as important. You do have to have money to survive. But to me, to have closure, I needed to know. And to need to know is you cannot go with the victim's fund you sign off to sue first the government of our country. Why the government? There's a red flag. And then all the airlines. So no, I could not take the government money. First of all, it is our tax money. And second of all, I want the truth. And because, well, because I was speaking out, and because I put a first lawsuit, and it was called a wrongful death lawsuit, they threw it out and said national security. All these little things they did is a red flag, and I still didn't give up. They did all these bad things to me. The last thing they did to me was they tried to get me to one of their psychiatrists, but I beat them to one that was recommended to me. And guess what? I passed with flying colors. But they did see that I was being persecuted by the attorney. That didn't sit too well with the attorneys. They tried to ask the judge in the courtroom to throw that one out and to take one of theirs that they chose. And she finally came to my side. And I'm going to tell you why she came to my side. If she was smart enough, it was a female judge. If she was as smart as she's supposed to be, she would have looked up the bio of this medical evaluator. This medical evaluator, he examines all soldiers coming back from Iraq, and he says, you should see the basket cases psychologically coming back. And so God was with me there. I passed his test, which was a 3-hour test, and it was almost 500 questions. I had nothing to be ashamed of. I was not a murderer. I wanted to have them stop saying, oh, she's crazy. Oh, she lies. Oh, she does this. You see, they were trying to snow me under, and it didn't work. So in return for that, I'm being persecuted again, and they have not come to me to say, do you want both, you know, things, liability and damages. They won't tell me anything that's going on. And then I find out the daughter has sold an interest of the lawsuit. They won't tell me that. And it goes on and on and on. And this, to me, is first-class corruption.
You know, Ellen, you wrote a letter
yes.
to, an open letter to the president of
Yes, I did.
And in this letter were some of the questions. I'm going to read a couple of the questions here that you asked. And I'm putting this out because I think that as Americans, that all of us should be concerned about the answers to these questions, even if no lawsuit was ever filed. I can't imagine why, number one, 29 pages of the 9/11 Commission, the committee report, were personally censored by the request of the President of the United States. You want to know where the black boxes are from Flight 11 and Flight 175.
Correct.
Where are the voice recorders from both of those flights?
Correct.
And you want to know why we can't gain complete air traffic control records for those
mm-hmm.
flights, as well as why we can't gain access to the traffic control records from both Flights 11 and Flight 175. Where are the airport surveillance tapes that show the passengers boarding the doomed flight?
Exactly.
When will the complete passengers list for all the flights? I can't imagine that these things haven't been released yet.
Yes.
And why, this is an interesting, why did Brother Jeff, governor of Florida, go to the offices of the Hoffman Aviation School and order the flight records and the files to be removed. And these files were put on a C-130 government cargo plane and flown out of the country. Where were they taken and who ordered it to be done? These are amazing things. And, you know, I can't believe that everybody in this country isn't asking these questions. Ellen, why do you think that is? Why do you think everybody in this country is not asking these questions?
First of all, they weren't brought up like me, where we were told to tell the truth. If we didn't, we got a spanking or punished in some manner. And we were to be honest, abiding citizens. And, you know, if you tell the truth, it set you free. Well, you can see right there by that letter, it sent a message that I was the troublemaker. No, I am a widow. I will always be a widow until we have closure. My husband fought his heart out for the Air Force. He was proud of it. And where the hell was the Air Force that day? And another thing, we have a 24/7 thing going around our country, and they couldn't see what was supposedly going on with these flights. Give me a break. It's all BS, and people are frightened. They watch too many mysteries. This is what I think. This is my gut feeling. But they're afraid. They're afraid because they're worried about their jobs. They're worried about something happening to them. You know, and where is it going to end? Until somebody takes a stand. They didn't have to pick on a 69, well, I'm now 69 years old on Social Security. I want to give you an example. When I had hired Phil Burns, he put a website. Did he ask me? No. He just told me he did it. And he also asked for money. 911 for the truth. $9, 9 cents, 900, 9,000, whatever. Give it. Well, let me tell you, I happened to have been talking to some of the workers there that he had in his office, and calls were coming in from all over the world. Anything we could do, and they were sending money and advice and cheers and good luck and congratulations. Did I get one penny? No. Nothing. Nothing. The messages didn't come to me, only one or two. And here I am on Social Security, nothing. And I asked him one time, how much money have you got? Oh, hardly anything. I said, how much? And he said, I don't know. And that's how disrespectful these, a lot of these attorneys who use their ego to get involved and snow widows under. There should be a law against this. And for the judge to say today, it says in the Bible, enjoy life. What life? I want to know if any of you have a spouse, if they left you for 6 years and you had no one to talk to, no one to go to bed with, no one to ride in a car with, to enjoy an ice cream, you would see how horrible to think your husband was taken from you and you don't have any answers. This is evil. This is corruption. This is bad stuff. And we need a new commission to get to the bottom of this. They were just fake. And I attended two of these in New York City, and they would stand. They had guards at the end of the aisles. They had spotlights on us the 2 days that they were in New York. And they waited for us to just grip our jaw, and they would pick us out by the arms. And if you made a moan or a groan, you were gone. What the hell kind of a country has this become? And this is supposed to be America, where everybody dies to get into. Well, I don't know. All I can say to all of you is, I am putting a book out. You will love the book. It's uplifting. It'll tell the love story of Neil and I, how we met. I will have a lot of funny things in there, but I am going to tell it all and name all. So if they win in court...
When is the book being released, Ellen?
I'm going home. I'm in New York City right now. I'm going home and just slapping them together, and I will thank all the attorneys from a certain point on for helping me put this book together. They think they're smart. They think they're in control. Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? There is nothing any worse than a woman gone.
You know, we have an audience question here, Ellen. One of our members is asking, who do you think perpetrated the 9/11 attack? This person is saying that they have developed numerous theories, and they're kind of wondering what your thoughts are on this.
You tell your listener, I am really sad. I get stories where two of the planes landed in Cleveland, Ohio, and next to that on the other side of the fence was the NASA Glenn Research Center. I've gotten that story. That broke my heart. But the other story is they really were on those planes, and then I hear, no, it couldn't have been. It looked like a commercial flight. And then I hear stories that they dumped them into the ocean. Then I hear stories they could have been taken out of the country. Tell your listener, I don't know. I want to know. I want my husband at least to know what happened. And the only way we're going to have this is to have a new commission, an honest one that's not connected any way whatsoever with anybody in Washington, D.C. I don't know where he is. I don't know if he's suffering. I don't know if he's crying out. I don't know if they're persecuting him or they've got him in a slave prison. I don't know. And we're all grieving. Not just me, but I'm speaking of more than the younger people. Because they got little kids. Well, I've got kids. I've got grandkids. You know, and I can't use fear to shut me up because it will not set you free.
Myrna, are you going to be involved in some parts of this book?
Well, I will do anything for Ellen. I've just, you know, been involved with her personally this weekend because she was coming to speak to the 9/11 Truth Movement here in New York, and I was able to actually go up to her and just thank her. Thank her for being who she is and for what she's done. And then I find out that her suit doesn't even exist any longer. And in any way that I can help Ellen, I'm there. I am one of the good guys. And I don't expect to, you know, turn my back on Ellen or anyone who's suffering because of this travesty. But in particular, because they were railroaded. And the only reason I became a lawyer was because I can't stand the smell of injustice. And I got to tell you, Ellen has suffered a lot. She continues to suffer because she can't get one honest person to stand by her, especially, you know, lawyers are supposed to just make her feel better and make her feel that, don't worry about that stuff. Bring it to me, and I'll handle it. And I will keep you apprised of everything that's going on. If you have any question, you have my cell phone number. Call me at any time. And no one to this day has done that with her. No one. And I am shocked, you know, to buttress her answer as to why Americans don't do anything about this. I truly believe that the more you know about what really happened on that day, the more you have to do. And I think we have been lulled into complacency. I believe America is truly a consumer constituency, and we're all afraid. We're all afraid of our credit card bills and our student loans and our mortgages, and we do not want to do anything about anything, about anything. And then, I mean, it's very obvious to the entire world that what we have here is a murderous cabal running the country, and yet nothing we try. Every lawsuit's been tossed. You try to get people together for a march. You try to protest, whatever. If we can't get permits, they want to put us in a pen on the other side of the... I mean, this has gone... I've never seen anything like this. I have never seen anything like this, not in recent history, where a whole, you know, populace has been quieted. Quieted to the point where I am totally shocked. And when we have been down at 9/11 for the memorial, and some people have worn T-shirts that say 9/11 was an inside job, but just question, you know, ask questions, get real answers. The family members themselves, some have joined us, and some have literally told us that we were, you know, desecrating the entire memorial, and that we were against, and we were, just the other night, Geraldo said on TV, we were anarchists and communists, and, I mean, where did this come from? And all the signs said was 9/11 truth now. And, you know, I don't know what's happened in this. I can't explain it. I knew, I'm 48 years old, so I know when people protested. I know the 60s. I know the 70s. And I know that change used to, at least on the face, happen. And I'm with Ellen on, you know, all the way. And whatever she needs from me, I'm
well,
here.
I think that is, first of all, there is one of our audience members that wanted to say to Ellen, as well as to any woman, I think, that is willing to stand up to the government, that they are very proud of her, that she's yet another strong woman who is making the grade and doing what needs to be done to get the word out. Look, we're going to take a short break right now, and thank you all. We'll be back in just a moment to speak with 9/11 widow Ellen Mariani and her lawyer, Myrna Ocosio, and get ready. We can take questions from the audience if you'd like. Please raise your hands and let us know, and we'll be right back. Hello, everybody. Thank you for being with us this evening, and welcome back. Our guest tonight, Ellen Mariani, wife of Louis Neil Mariani, who died in the United Flight 175 that crashed into the World Trade Center, and her lawyer, Myrna Ocosio. Welcome back, ladies. Thank you very much for being with us this evening.
Thank you.
Thank you. You know, we had a gentleman by the name of John Perkins, the author of The Economic Hitman, on a few weeks back, Ellen.
Yes.
And when asked if he believed the story told by the administration, he said he didn't know, but that he questions that not one person was brought to task and that virtually no one was appointed any responsibility in the matter of 9/11. Is that still true, that no one has ever taken a fall for what has happened in 9/11?
As far as I'm concerned, that is true, but if you will notice that a lot of the government officials higher up have jumped ship.
This is true, absolutely. And one of the people that jumped ship was Paul Wolfowitz. Paul Wolfowitz, during the early part of his administration, it wasn't during the early part, it was afterwards, Paul Wolfowitz, who was the defense secretary at that time, admitted in Vanity Fair magazine, and I'm quoting this, "For bureaucratic reasons, we settled on one issue, weapons of mass destruction, because it was the one everyone could agree on to publicly justify the war." Now, that to me was one of the statements that you made in your letter, that you felt that this issue of 9/11 was specifically designed to help enhance an unpopular war against terror. Do you still believe that to be the truth?
No.
What do you believe, Ellen?
Our terror is in Washington. As far as I'm concerned, I feel it in my heart that a lot of this is BS, and I think I made it very clear in the beginning today. You know, to be covering up these things and getting their buddies to throw me out, and that's exactly what they did in Boston. Greenberg and Trierick got involved in this with Red Cross. If you only knew how 24/7 I had to watch what was going on. They, the Red Cross, started grieving groups, brought in psychologists, psychiatrists to administer medication, and while this was going on, Kenneth Feinberg, the victim's special master of the victim's fund, was just standing by waiting. And once they got medicated, they took them right to the fund, because I would not have anything to do with it. But then Greenberg and Trierick, it still didn't work, and they got one of his employees that's in the back room. And their employee attorneys also defend United Airlines, and that's who I was suing, because that's where my husband had stepped onto their plane. They got attorney Dan Baganowski to get to the stepdaughter through her attorneys that she hired, or they got to hire, whom she'd been medicated many times, been in and out of facilities many times in her past. And they tried to hide that when they finally got the deposition her back. And it was very hard for them to keep saying strike, so we had to word it in a way where they couldn't strike it out. They took one of their attorneys, Greenberg and Trotter, attorney Dan Bakanowski. He thought he was talking to my female attorney, and whoops, he was talking to my female attorney because a widow sat there after a financial seminar that they also put on. They had to get their trust. And that's the way you try to get grieving families' trust. And she saw the stepdaughter there, and it was right after that, February of 2003, he says, we're going in and take her out. So they lied. They said, I steal, I'm incompetent, I'm crazy, and blah, blah, blah. And they thought they were going to get away with it until they got my evaluation. And I passed with every flying color there was, and there was a list of psychiatric ailments and diseases, and I had none. They did say, and that test was really kind of scary when I heard the results, Ellen Mariani is very honest, to the point, will not lie. She will not change for other people's reasoning. And it went on and on, but Ellen Mariani had a slight elevation of persecutory ideation, which is persecuting me. And when it was shown, the evaluation was shown to the lawyers, they went berserk. This is bad. This is bad. I go, really? What's bad? And he says, persecutory ideation. Well, sorry, that's what they found. And it told on them. And that was the last. Then they tried to wipe him out and put one of their corrupt attorney or psychiatrists in there, psychiatrists. And the judge finally, after 5 years, May 10th, 2006, said no more in this courtroom in the state of New Hampshire. No, she doesn't need a second evaluation. Well,
so in other words, Ellen, what this court system has been trying to do, first of all, you up until the events of 9/11 tragically took your husband, they considered you a perfectly lucid citizen. And
right.
After the events of 9/11, you suddenly became a psychotic woman that was just trying to make trouble for who? For George W. Bush?
Trying to find out the truth. I'd be making trouble for all of them, wouldn't I?
I guess you would.
The sickest part of this is they try to divide. They will divide somebody in your family to get on their side. Once they've got them on their side, now they gang up on you. 2 versus 1. So they ended up getting a grieving daughter, stepdaughter of my husband's daughter. And to go forward, she had signed I would be the administratrix. That's a female administrator. She agreed to it. The judge okayed it. And then all of a sudden when she went to these financial seminars and these grieving groups by Red Cross and the medication that she told on the deposition she was on, they got her right where they wanted her, and she is still in as the one in charge of the lawsuit. So the better you are, the good reputation you are, they don't like that. They want to pin
you something.
Well,
let me ask you, what is your relationship with your stepdaughter right now?
Nothing. Zero. I will not talk to this girl. I don't want anything to do with her. And if her father was alive, he'd be heartbroken. Heartbroken.
Not only has this shaped your life in the events of the tragic death, but it's altered every aspect of your relationship with your family.
Yes, and you know what the evaluator said, the psychological, he said, you have now what's considered a second wounding from the judicial system. They have let me down. They have lied. They have got their way. And, it's a second wound, and not only did I lose Neil, but I lost my country. I have no trust anymore for most attorneys. Sorry, Myrna, I'm not meaning you. But to do what they've done, they ought to be ashamed of themselves because they spoke out.
Well, We have a question from our audience here, Ellen, and the question is, would you team up with Cindy Sheehan to fight this governmental atrocity?
No.
You would not?
I don't believe they would love that. The world would love it. I'm not going to be carried off with my legs spread apart in a skirt and be put in jail. I worked in a jail. I was one of their people taking and inspecting and taking and locking up women. No, that to me is not my way of doing things. I salute her for what she's done. I don't condemn her for what she's done, but that's not my way. And that's because that
your style and that's acceptable. That's perfectly acceptable. We all have people. I honor you for the path that you have taken. Let me ask you, Helen. Helen, are you considering continuing with your search for truth?
I will never give up. Now, let's say Neil is alive. Let's say my husband is alive somewhere. He knew me. 13 years of marriage. I fight for those that can't fight for themselves. I fought. I took care of the mentally handicapped. I took care of the elderly. I took care of the veterans. I was brought up to help others. And if he is alive and could hear my voice right now, that I love him, I'll never give up.
I can hear the pain in your voice, Ellen. And again, our condolences on this event. Mirna, what is going on in the political forum as far as the events of 9/11 and how a new investigation being promoted? Are you involved in that at all?
Well, what we're doing is that we put together a ballot initiative to present to the city council to have a true 9/11 commission hearing, a brand new one, and not with, you know, biased politicians or people that are being told what to ask and what to do and how to report matters and how to just, you know, forget about things that did in fact happen on that day and not report on that.
Do you think that's still possible, Mirna, in light of
signatures for that ballot initiative?
Do you think that's possible in light of the time that's passed, the evidence that has been suppressed, the entire buildings being shipped off to China? I mean, if that alone...
Yeah, that's you know, evidence is never removed from the scene of a crime, so that was one clue to begin with.
Exactly.
I tell you, I don't know what's possible any longer, but we just need to keep trying. And I know Ellen's going to continue. Whether or not there's a lawsuit pending, she will continue until she gets the answer. And quite frankly, Ellen has been the one that's given us the spirit to go forward. Every time we see her speak, or every time she shows up, she's everywhere. She will not stop. She just keeps telling everybody what happened to her. Up until this point, now she has a brand new, set of facts to report to everyone. I, like Ellen, will continue. This is a devastating event for me personally. But what I've seen is the first responders. What I've seen it do to the victim's family. What I've seen it do, you know, it's just countless errors. And people are suffering, truly suffering. And hopefully the ballot initiative goes somewhere. If anything, it publicizes more people that we think it's time to have a real investigation, to really find out what happened on the day, because that whatever that was, that 9/11, like David Ray Griffin calls it, omission hearing, did not tell me what happened to those questions or even repeating the answers that they were given. So I'm hoping.
May I give the website to this ballot?
Yes, please do, Ellen. And we have been posting the website in our virtual auditorium. But please announce the website on the
front. Anybody in the New York area that you could share this with to get on this website, it's www.nyc911initiative.org. Okay? I'll do it again.
And we will be posting that in the room. We will be posting that in our virtual auditorium, Ellen. We'll also be trying to get it up on our website. for people that come and listen to the archives of the show. You heard it here, folks. We need to support
this
new movement.
And I'd like to give my email to the audience. If anybody wants to contact me, it is emariani911@yahoo.com. And Mariani is M-A-R-I-A-N-I.
So for those of you listeners that are hearing this, what we Ellen needs to hear from you. She needs your support. She needs your backing. You know, there are many ways that I think Americans can help in this situation, Ellen. You being one of them, the advocating this process of reestablishing a new commission that will truly find out the truth and what's going on and what happened at 9/11. I think that's vitally important.
I thank you for that, and I thank you for having me on. And
Ellen, are there any ending statements that you would like to say to our audience?
I would like everybody to get on TomFlacco.com. He has all my stories of what has happened to me. He explained them very well. It's Tom, all one word, Flacco, FLOCCO.com. And the latest on all the court write-ups is Online Journal, all one word, OnlineJournal.com by Jerry Mazet. Posted right up today. And he was in the audience today, and he'll be putting up a new one in probably a few days. But
and Ellen, are you also traveling and speaking currently? If, say, someone wanted you to come and address a
I would be happy.
Are you willing to
ask? Yes, I am. You know, what they end up doing, they pass the basket for me because I'm on Social Security and I have nothing. And that's what the government likes. Eat dirt. You know, you won't have the strength to fight, and we have to override that. I would be happy to speak if they had a crowd or group of people. You know, also I'll be speaking in Orange County in 2 weeks. That is California. American Free Press has been wonderful. They supplied my airfare here. I'm in New York City right now. They supplied my trip here. They have done beautiful write-ups explaining what's going on. And anybody that wants to know what's going on, it's the American Free Press, and it's out of Washington, D.C.
Okay, there's a lot of websites here, ladies and gentlemen, and I want to thank you ladies very much for being with us tonight. Ellen, keep up the good work. We are proud of both of you women. We are proud of the truth, the people that are speaking the truth. As a woman, you honor us. You are a goddess with wings, and keep up your work. We will support you in any way that we can. We will try to get some of these websites onto our original site and link it in. You heard it here, folks. This is what we do to people that survive 9/11. We make them into crazy people.
That's awful. Yep.
It is very awful. What a tragedy and what a sad statement it is on our legacy here in the United States and the legacy of your husband. But he was a proud American. He was a proud citizen, and there are lots of proud Americans that honor him. And we want you to know that, Ellen. Thank you very much for being with us, ladies and gentlemen. That's the end of our show. Next week we have former Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney on. September 18th, 8:30 to 9:30 Eastern Time on The People Speak. That's all, folks.
Bye-bye.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, honey.